I declare unto you, says Paul, the gospel, the good news, the evangelion, which I preached unto you, which also you have heard and received, wherein you now stand, by which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ, one, died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That is, not that He died according to the Scriptures, but He died according to the Scriptures. He died according to the Scriptures. He didn't just die, but He died according to the Scriptures. The Scriptures said He would die. And you are not saved just because God did something. You are saved because the Scriptures say so. Hello? It's the believing in the Word of God that Jesus put all the weight. And we must also know the Word of God. It isn't enough just to believe something. To believe there's something in here, you must know the Word of God. The Word of God tells everything. First of all, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He had to do that because our sins were weighing upon us, holding us back. We were bound not only in doing bad things. That's not the only sin. There is also the sin of being an ego or a self that is for itself. That is always trying to work out its own salvation. Always trying to run its own life. Even use God to do it. That sin of being a self apart from God, independent of God, even working together with God, not letting God do everything, any self that takes any praise or any glory or any work or any energy or anything is a selfish self that tries to manage this world and refuses to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. He died to save us from that self, that selfishness, that ego, that self-management, that insistence upon our own way is, I do know something. That's what He saved us from, first of all. And second, verse 4, that He was buried. And when you bury something, it's not only dead, but it's dead. When you bury something, it's not only dead, but it just can't even revive again. It is buried. Hello? It's buried. It can't come back. Jesus not only died and then waited 20 minutes and jumped back up again, resuscitated. He died. He was dead. And He stayed there for 3 days. He was really dead. He didn't pretend like He was dead. He was dead. And He was buried because He was dead. And the third thing, and that He was seen, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He did all those according to the Scriptures. Three things. He died, He was buried, and He rose again. That's the end of the story. There is no more story than that. Jesus died, He was buried, and He rose again. That's the story. That's all you need to ever know. If you knew nothing more, you know all of it. That He died, and He was buried, and He rose again for you. As you. With you. To be in you. So He can work through you. He's got you in mind. He didn't just die for you. He died as you. As when He died, you died. Literally. It may not look like it, but that's the way it is, according to the Scriptures. He died as you. He died with you. You were there with Him. You were there when they crucified the Lord. You were there. Your sins is what put Him on the tree, and it was your sins that He took, and when He rose again, you rose. He died for you. He died with you. He died as you. He died so He could be in you. That's why He did all of that. He did all of that so He could forever stay with you on good terms. He took all the bad terms and left them in the grave. That's a good place for them to be. There's no more sin on me. There's no more sin on you. Do you believe in the Word of God? The Word of God declares that this story is not a story. It's not a story. It's not just a cute story. This is the truth, the only truth that is real in this world. He died, He was buried, and He left your sins there. Now, here's the two things He did. He died so that He could save you, not just to save you. So He could lord you now. He died, He saved you, so that He could lord you. He didn't just die so that He could save you and take you to heaven. Are you listening to me? He didn't die to take you to heaven. He died to bring heaven to earth. In you, for you, with you. This is heaven. Do you understand? It isn't that we're going to heaven someplace. Heaven is being with God. Heaven is being obedient to God. The kingdom of God is being holy, pure, knowing the Lord, loving the Lord, being with the Lord, cleaning up your life, changing your behavior. That's heaven, and you can't do it. That's why He saved you. He told you to do it in the Old Testament, but you didn't do it. And now He just gave it to you as a free gift. He died for our salvation. He rose again so that He could live in us. Now He can be the Lord in us. He is a personal managing presence. Remember that. He is a personal managing presence. Now let me tell you what I mean. Religion does not know what I just told you. Standard religion has no idea of what I just told you. In standard religion, you don't need God to carry on church. You can have church without a real God. Are you listening to me? You can carry, it's the genius of religion to actually carry on the form of religion without God. That's why communism believes in everything that Christianity believes in except God. Communism actually believes in all of Christianity's fruit, its ideas. I never met a communist. I was telling Robert this. I've never met a communist that wasn't a Christian. Meaning, they don't believe in God, but they believe in everything we believe in. They just say, you Christians believe in the right things, you never do it. And then therefore, we're going to do it, and of course they can't. But we're not going to pretend like we need God. We'll just do it on our own. We're going to be honest about it. We believe in your Jesus. We believe in Christianity. We don't even doubt it for a minute. I never met a communist that doubted Christianity. They just doubt Christians. They don't see Christ alive in Christians. He's dead. He's in the grave for communists and for the rest of the world. That's looking on and says, I don't believe you Christians. If He's alive, where is He? Show Him. And Christians say, well, you know, it's in the Bible. You know, we sing songs about that. But Jesus rose not just to save you, to take you to heaven someday, and give you a ticket, to kind of hold on and wait. He saved you to lord you now. Now. He is king now. He's not king of the world right now. The rest of the world doesn't acknowledge Him, but we do. And what kind of a king is He? He's the kind of king that lives inside of us and personally manages our lives. He personally takes control because we're not smart enough. I don't know how to run my life. If I was on my own, I'd run it my own way for my own purposes. But we need a Savior to constantly forgive us for all the things we would have done and should have done and could have done and so on. Save us from that once and for all. And then to live inside of us and enable us and empower us, not make us do it, but He living in us and us by faith coming to know Him. Let me make it real clear. Jesus saved us as the Savior. He did it for us. He did it as us. He did it with us. That's the cross. But He rose again, not to save us, but to lord us, to manage us. And here to be in us and to be through us with His works. That's the gospel. Not just that Jesus died and rose again for Himself. Not just that He died and rose again for me. Not just that He died and rose again in order to save me. He saved me in order to lord me so that I could know Him. First of all, in loving fellowship. That's the first thing. This is the thing that the devil wants us to skip. First of all, to know Him, to spend time with Him, just to have unhurried time with the Lord. How many do this every day? 2-3 hours? 4, 5, 6. That's the reason, that's what it is to be a Lord. This is what He says. Come and know me. Come aside with me. Spend time with me. I don't want you doing for me. You misunderstand. I want you to just be with me. I want you to make love to me. Because as you come to know Him, as you spend time with Him, then your character, your inner being, will change. You will become holy. You will not become holy by becoming holy. You will become holy by not becoming holy. by just separating yourself unto God, by having one God, by not managing your life, but just simply doing what He says, which is spend time with me, reading the Word, spending time worshiping, praising, rejoicing, laughing, dancing, confessing. Spend time with me, and as you do that, automatically, holiness will come into your life. Automatically. Automatically. And when holiness comes into your life, automatically you'll do the works of God. Automatically you'll do the works of God and you will build the kingdom of God. And you will overthrow the kingdom of the enemy. He saved us in order to lord us. You see, Resurrection Sunday is not all about a man who was God who died just to save us. And then to get on the earth again, because that's what Mary wanted. Mary, where's my Lord? What have you done with Him? I want to see Him again with my eyes. And when she saw Him, she grabbed a hold of His feet and said, "You're not getting out of here. I got you." And she grabbed a hold of His ankles and began to worship Him and in effect was saying, "Don't you ever, ever, ever leave me." Now Mary totally misunderstood that religion is not the security of grabbing onto the ankles of Jesus. Jesus didn't rise to be stuck with Mary, clinging at His feet. He said, "Let me go, so I can float away. I want to be gone." But He said, "I really won't ever leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you more intimately than you holding my ankle. I'm going to go up to heaven, show Dad what I've done, and then there's going to be a big shout in heaven." Yeah! Woo! Boy, they were excited in heaven. He did it! You see, it wasn't that Jesus escaped hell. That was no big thing. It wasn't that Jesus lived through death. That was no big thing. Jesus had risen people from the dead. I mean, that was not the thing. The thing was, you and I were saved. Because when He died, He took us with Him. Because He went for us. He went as us. He went with us. And that's the beauty of His death. Is that when He showed up in heaven, the Father said, "I see Robert. I see Jim. I see Beverly. I see, I see everybody. And that's my will. I want to snatch them all out of the fire. I don't want one to perish." So, the Lord Jesus saved us in order to lord us. Now, this is not well known in the churches today, the lording part. Because we don't like to be lorded. We like to say, "Lord, Lord." But Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of God." He that doeth the will of God. What is doing the will of God? This is the will of God, that you know me. This is the will of God, that you know me. This is the will of God, your sanctification. This is the will of God, that you build the kingdom of God. This is the will of God. It's something you can't do. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's something that has to be given. And God would give it to you through the resurrection. Only believe. Only believe. The thing on Resurrection Sunday was that no one believed. You know, Mary didn't believe. She said, I'm sorry He left. Though Jesus told them, and it was written in the Bible, that it's to your advantage I go away. And I've got to die and be buried and resurrect. Yet she didn't believe that. She said, I don't believe that. I believe if He were here, I would be happy. If I could only be with Jesus, if I could only see my prayers answered, then I'd be happy. If I could see my bills paid, I'd be happy. If I could see a good husband, I'd be happy. You know, if I could see good parents, I'd be happy. If I could see the world happy, I'd be happy. If I could see. But God said, "Blessed are those not that see and believe, but blessed are those that believe without seeing." Blessed, that's us. Every one of us got into the kingdom without seeing. You don't get to see it. You have to believe. Is it blind faith? No, it's based upon the Word of God. Now you'll have to test this Word out yourself. If you just believe this because your grandmother believed it, you're in trouble. Your grandmother may not be, but you are. If you just believe this because your friends believe it, you're in trouble. If you just believe this because it's a good thing to do, you're in trouble. If you just believe this because, you know, the organ played your tune, you're in trouble. They didn't play mine this morning, by the way. I like the one that goes, I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. That's mine. I love that one. He lives, oh, that just soars, you know. But that doesn't save me. That's a nice song, and I live it and breathe it and so on. But that isn't going to save me. It's the Word of God that saves me. It's Jesus Christ, not who died and rose again, but who died and rose again for me, in me, that He might be my Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This world has seen so little reality. Are you listening? This world has seen so little reality, knows so little reality. There is so little reality out there in this world. What little reality you have, you've probably mortgaged it to somebody. There is very little that's real in this world. Most of it is complete parasiting. It's building on somebody else's something. And there's very little something anywhere. Now, we have the goods. You understand that? This world is full of lies, deception, darkness. It's all trickery. If you were farmers, there would be no problem because farmers can't deal in illusions. But practically everybody else in the world can. Because farmers deal with natural law. You sow, you reap. You don't sow, you don't reap. But the banking world and the world of urban society and suburbia has all kinds of unreal problems, and they don't know what end is up. Politicians, teachers, psychiatrists, doctors, they're all full of nonsense. Are you listening to me? Pastors. The biggest unreality of all is religion. Hello? Are you listening to me? I'm not being mean, I'm just being honest. I'm being real. I'm real. Do you understand? I'm being real. Because I know my Redeemer, who also happens to be my King and my Lord. I know. No one can check me on it. You can do it if you want to, but it doesn't matter. I've got one judge, even Jesus. And I know I'll stand before Him at the latter day, and I know He'll say, well done. Hello? Now, unless you know that, you don't understand what Christianity is all about. It's not about believing in something with your mind. It's not about doing something with your body. It's not about habits and you know, I always go to church on what they call Easter Sunday. I don't like to call it that because that's the devil's word. Easter, it's from the word astart. A-S-T-A-R-T. And that was the female goddess in Baal worship. And that's really where it comes from. Did you know that? That's what Easter is all about. It happens to be on the same day. That's her day. Astart, that's the female goddess in Baal worship, the very thing God told His people not to do. There is no Easter Sunday. Even the devil tries to get in and steal Easter, you see, by putting this word Easter on it. No, it's Resurrection Sunday. There's nothing in the Bible that says Easter. Did you know you can't find that in the Bible? Look it up in Concordance, you can't find it. It's not there. The devil can pervert anything and everything of God. Let him do it. We don't need to put Christ back in Christmas. He's, you know, we don't believe in Christmas. We believe in Jesus Christ. Born. We believe like it says in the Bible. Now, you must understand, believe it or not, I am sent from God to tell you. This Bible, this Word of God, is all there is. This is reality. And everything that issues from this will bring life. And you cannot mix this with anything in this world. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, the beauty of this is, if you try to fulfill this, you will stumble. If you try to live this, you will stumble. If you try to follow this, you will stumble. This one cannot be done by man. Have you ever tried to fulfill this word? You can't do it. You can't do it. I see Mark here in the front row. You've tried to fulfill this. You're a miserable failure. You are. I didn't even know his life story. I can tell you he's a miserable failure because I can see the sincerity on his face. That's a dead giveaway right there. A person that's sincere is a person that's deceived. Sincere? What's that have to do with it? A lot of wicked people are sincere. That means nothing. You can't do it! Sincere or not? Well, she's sincere. Doesn't matter. Can she do it? No. Only God, the risen Christ, can live His life through you. Now, He doesn't want to live His life through you until He lives His life in you, until He lives His life to you. You see that? He doesn't care about doing things. He wants to change you first. And He doesn't care about changing you first until He comes to know you. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, where it says, knowing Him, beholding Him, looking at Him, not changing ourselves, looking at Him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another so that we might do the works of God. Doing is not important to God. Religion knows how to do. Religion can do without any change, without even knowing God. Religion doesn't need the Lordship of Jesus. Religion can just build something on words. Religion. That's the thing that killed Jesus. It's the only thing. No sinners killed Jesus. Even all the sins of the world. The sins of the world didn't kill Jesus. They did. But it was religion that was the vehicle or the tool that accomplished it. Hello? And the same is true today. The only betrayal today in the church is the church. It isn't the wicked that are betraying us. It isn't the wicked that will sell us out. It's our own. Hello? Who don't have the reality. They don't have the joy of the Lord. And the foolishness is you can't defeat a real Christian. You can't lose when you're a real Christian because everything that's losable is losable, and who wants it anyway? Take the building. Take New Testament church. I don't need anything. I've got everything already. Hello? Take my salary. You know, it doesn't make any difference to me. You can't stop me because you can't start me because God said, do it. And it doesn't matter what it looks like. When God says do it, it's done. It's done. I don't care when it gets done or how it gets done. It's done. Because knowing God is what it's all about. I can know God even when I don't do anything. And I can go out and do something, it can fail. I can still know God. And I can change my character in knowing Him. And the way I do that is say, God, I don't have the goods. And He goes, good. It's about time you saw that. And I go, oh. Now that's a change of character. That's an awareness, a revelation that comes to realize, apart from you, I can do nothing. Well, I knew that in my head. I knew that in my theology. I read that in the Bible. But I even preached 17 sermons on it. But it doesn't make any difference. I've got to learn that again every day. You don't learn Christianity in a day, in a month, in a year. You learn it always. You're always learning it. I'm never beyond the ABCs. Hello? Nor can you be. The only way you ever learn anything is at the bottom. You learn everything from the bottom. You go all the way back to He died, He was buried, and He rose again. Every day. Every day. I learn that every day. If I skip one of those, if I try to go to, Lord, today I don't want to talk about saviorism. I don't want to talk about burial. Let's just talk about power. It won't do any good. You can't get to power. You can't get to the last without going to the first. You can't know Him as Lord unless you know Him as Savior. You can't do it. Religion tells you you can. Religion says, look, we've got something for sale here. What have you been paying? $1.98? We've got it for 43 cents this week. You can get in cheaper. See that? You don't need all that. Here, just come on right down here. We'll give you a legalistic fulfillment of God's Word. Well, what do you think of that? It's only 43 cents. Oh, okay, all right. What, 21 cents because, you know, you're a little hesitant. All right. 4 cents, you know. And religion will sell you anything because religion doesn't have any goods. It has no reality. Anywhere you go in the world, the only thing that sells anything is not business or religion or anything. The only thing it sells is reality. I'll tell you what the world's looking for. It's looking for a reality. I can convert all the Russians and all the Bulgarians and Hungarians and Chinese and Japanese and Frenchmen and Belgians and Americans and anybody if you've got reality. But they know that behind you is nothing. They know that behind you there isn't a church. They know there is no such thing as church. They know that if there were a church, there'd be a different world. They know that the only thing is a bunch of talk about a Savior. A bunch of talk about a future Lord. This is way in the past, this is way in the future, but nothing now. That's why they turn to all the stuff they turn to. That's why materialists are materialistic. That's why communists are communists. That's why the world is blind. Not because God doesn't love it, not because they don't want to be saved, it's that they don't believe that you believe. They don't believe that you believe. They've never seen Jesus Christ alive. They've seen Him dead. He's dead in the past, He's dead in the future, but where is He now? Where's the living Christ? That's what Resurrection Sunday is all about. Now, the amazing thing is, you can't skip. You can't skip. You've got to fall in love with Him as Savior. Now, why would anyone love Him as Savior unless you were a total and complete mess? M-E-S-S. Capital M-E-S-S. You can't be a mess 1 week. You've got to be a mess all the time. You've got to be a total mess. I'm only hoping that we'll have a church someday full of total messes. We've got a good start, but it's not enough. You've got to be totally, totally, totally dependent, or it won't work. The minute you help God out, it doesn't work. The minute you say, you know, it's like the guy that's drowning, and he goes, help, help, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, and he goes down and, help, help, and, you know, no one does anything. And finally, he cries out to God, God, help! And an inner tube hits him in the head, you know, and he goes, oh, never mind. You know, we don't seem to realize we can do nothing. Everything comes from God. Everything. Everything comes from God. Every breath we take, because we're even alive today. Who cares about all the stuff in this world? Who's afraid of this world? Who? Who? You say me. Me, I'm afraid. Well, you're wrong. You're wrong. Because Jesus is alive. That's why you're wrong. You're wrong because Jesus is alive. There's nothing to be afraid of. He already said, what's death? He said, I just did that to prove to you guys it was nothing. I just wanted to show you that if the devil won, he'd lose. Isn't that interesting? I mean, the devil was trying his whole time to get Jesus. 33 and a third, you know, or half year, he's working at it. Oh, if I could only get Jesus. Come on, devils. Come on, demons. Let's get him. You know, they tried to kill him through Herod. They tried to, you know, just tried 100,000 things to get him. They never got him. So Jesus finally said, hey, what are you doing? He goes, well, you know, we're just trying to get you. And he goes, that's what I thought. What seems to be the problem? We just can't get you. God seems to be protecting you. He says, that's no problem. Okay, God, let them have me. Here, I'm yours. And they got him for a whole week. They could do anything they wanted to him. They got everybody against him. Everybody. Imagine the whole world being against you. You get upset if your toaster doesn't work. You know, but imagine being the whole world being against you. Imagine nothing going right. Church hated him. State hated him. Herod, Pilate, Caiaphas, everybody that counted out there, they didn't follow him. His own followers, the ones he'd raised from the dead, where were they when he was in trouble? Why didn't they come forward and say, wait, I'll stand in place for him. He raised me from the dead. Or he healed my leg. Or he opened my eyes. I mean, don't take him, take me. I believe in this man. Nobody came forth. Where were his own disciples, the ones that loved him? Oh, we'll never leave you. Remember Peter, I'll be to the end and all this stuff. And he denies him that quick. Judas betrays him that quick. Just for a little bit of silver. Everybody abandoned him. Even God left him. Did that bother Jesus? He'd read the book. It's in the book. It's in there that God's going to even do all that. God said, you know, for a brief moment I'll forsake you, but then with everlasting love I'll bring you back again. Jesus wasn't afraid. You know, let the thing sink. Let it fall apart. Let it disintegrate. What can happen? Nothing. That'd be the best thing ever. That would prove to everybody that there was nothing to be afraid of. He's alive. He's alive in you. The power, the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is in you. You may not be using it. You may be abusing it. You may not even know it's there. But it's there. That same power that raised him from the dead is in you. It'll quicken your mortal bodies. It'll change this world. It'll do everything that God wants done. Now, God is interested in something. He doesn't just want you to know Him. He doesn't want you just to be holy. He wants you to know Him and be holy and to build the kingdom of God and overthrow the kingdom of the devil. Now, to reign in life. How many of you are reigning? I mean reigning. This is not believing, you know, just believing. That's not reigning. Knowing Him, that's not reigning. Being holy and pure, that's not reigning. Building the kingdom of God, that's reigning only if you believe and know Him and are changed and are building the kingdom of God. That's reigning. That's reigning. I'm not satisfied having read the book. I'm not satisfied with something that's almost there. It's got to be perfect. Now, you hear that? Those are insane words, or they're right on. Either one or the other. Are we either holding out for building the kingdom of God, or let's not? Let's do what religion does, sell it at a bargain rate. Let's have a bargain sale. Let's say we talk about really doing it, but we don't believe in it, because we don't believe Jesus is alive. We believe we've got to do it, and that's why religion knows there is no Jesus. Religion never did believe in Jesus. It just believes in the Word. Any religion, call it Buddha, call it Jesus, they don't care what you call it. Hello? Now see, I have no fear. First of all, most of you don't even know what I'm talking about. But second of all, I don't care if you do or not, I'm right. I'm right. I know what the religion of this world is. It's Baalism. It can call it masonry. Maybe some of you there are masons. Let me tell you something, masonry is not Christianity. It borrows religious terms. It has ISIS in it. That's not Jesus. It has Islamic symbols. You ever see those guys with the hats? And they have, you know, Jewish symbols, Islamic symbols. They have all kinds of symbols. What's all that nonsense? You may be a Mason, because I'm sure there are some. You may be a Mason because you wanted to have burn hospitals. That's good. You may be a Mason because you believe in brotherhood. That's good. But it's not Christianity. You may be a Mason, like my father was, and Peggy's father was, and his father before him, and so on. Come from a long line of those. But it happens to be evil. Because, listen, it's eclectic. That is, it joins one thing to another. It's secretive. Slit the throat and all that stuff. God doesn't believe in slitting the throat. He doesn't believe in man joining with man. He doesn't believe in covenants that men make. Even religious covenants. Hello? Strong word? I'm telling you what Jesus Christ is risen means. It means we don't play games in this world and bargain with all these people because they might do us a favor. Let's look to God. God said that will get you in trouble. God said no. God X's out that I that says I can manage better without God. You see, God really hadn't been tried too much. An experience with God is not a walk with God. An experience with God, someone says, I had an experience with God. Good, praise God. That just because, you know, you have an experience doesn't mean you have the reality. One robin doesn't make a spring, right? Because the robin flies, spring. Might be from the local zoo. You don't know, just because you have an experience, someone says, I experienced God. I had an experience with God in 1964. I remember it was an experience with God, but I tell you today, I don't believe I was a Christian. I believe I'd have gone to hell for the next 7 years because I didn't serve Him nor believe in Him. But I certainly had an experience that I knew about. It really changed me. But that change in me didn't make me a Christian. So it changed me. People can change in this world. Buddha can make you change. That's how he got onto it in the first place. A lot of people can change. You know, you see something, you just get mad or whatever else. Become afraid and you do some changes. No. Christianity is a living, abiding relationship with this living God. It's a forever, all the time, loving fellowship, talking to Him, walking with Him, speaking to Him, confessing to Him, loving Him, crying out to Him, complaining to Him, doing everything with Him. That's Christianity. That's Christianity. When you hook up with God, you've got a full-time job. There's no time left over for I. The I is out. I can't manage my life. The only reason I got saved was because I tried to manage my life beforehand. I wouldn't get saved otherwise. I tried to do a good job. I tried with or without God. Who cares about God? First I tried without God, then I heard about God, thought, well, I'll try God out. I didn't like His style. I fixed Him up a bit. You know?
I cleaned him up. He had a kind of a bad deal. Had to go to church every Sunday, you know, tithe and all that. Well, I made up another rule. Made up my own rules. I'll fix God up, make him a little bit nicer. He was packaged wrong. You know? I didn't like the way all that. So I made up my own. I saw that the Catholics did it in one way, and Lutherans did it another way, and Presbyterians did it another way, and so on. Why can't I have my own package, too? All right, I'll add my package. I mean, obviously, all those people can't get together, so I have a right to make them any way I want to. And that's what everybody does. In the same church, everybody packages them the way they want to. But the Word of God tells us how it is, and there's no difference. That's it. That's it. Hello? He's alive. What is he alive to do? He's not alive just to save people and need a nice grandfather. You know, tell everybody how friendly I am. That's not God. He's alive to rule. He wants to rule. He's still looking for rule. He's saying, you guys misrule. Don't you see that? You're a total mess. That's why I saved you. That's why I saved you. I love you, and I want to rule now. Not in heaven. I already rule heaven. What do I need you for in heaven? What are you going to add in heaven? What do you add? What does he need us for in heaven? He doesn't need us. He can do pretty good for all eternity. He did pretty good before he invented us. He doesn't need us. We are not an asset. Hello? We were enemies. We were enemies. And he said, I would like to change some enemies into friends. Why? Because it was always God's idea. That was always God's idea. God just wanted to prove he was God. And the devil said, I'll get some of your kids and I'll turn them against you. And God says, see if you can do it. See if you can do it. I'll give you what you can take. But God said, I'll tell you something right now. I'll have a people. Take as much as you want, but I'll have a people. I already know who they all are. They're without number. You can't even count the stars in heavens or the sand of the sea and outnumber the people I'll have that will follow me and let me live in them. No one's appealing to any person to accept this. It's declaring. I'm not asking anyone to believe. I don't care what people believe. I'm telling you this is the truth. This is the way it really is. Jesus never went around saying to people, now think of it this way. He never did that. Now have you ever thought about this, Peter? Yeah, he didn't do that. He just said, this is the way it is. Hello? That's the difference between God and man. Now, man always has to talk about it. Socrates, you know, he was a great philosopher in the Greek world. He was always going around asking questions. What's truth? And they go, I don't know. What's time? 6:30. No, what is time itself? Oh, I don't know. And he asked all these questions. They thought he was profound. That's what the world is doing today. With all his computers and everything, men think that if they put everything down and, you know, get the smells and the sounds and the soul and the spirit and everything, put it on a computer, that we'll have some kind of mega god that will answer something. It'll just be the same baloney we've always had. It's just a big baloney now, and it just comes quick. It's just quicker. But man is confident that he will actually improve something or do something or accomplish something, and Jesus said no. As a matter of fact, Jesus described that as the beast. Didn't he? If you know anything about the Bible, you know anything about life, that's it. I don't need to read little pamphlets that are written by these conspirators and are handing them out or something. I know what it is. You just look around. It's always the most obvious thing on the block. The devil is not a big hider. He does the most obvious stuff. Someone say, well, it couldn't be that because that's too obvious. Well, that's the very thing it is. What do you mean it's too obvious? Who do you think runs this world? Look downtown, the tallest building is the guy that runs this city. That's all. It's so simple. You just look out there and go, let's see, First City, you know, whatever. Insurance, blah, blah, blah. Well, those are the guys that got it. Who do you think is running this world? The guy that built the tallest building. That's the way it always was. Some guy built a pyramid or a ziggurat or something. And you can do that in church, too. You know, the guy's got the biggest church. That means he's the most spiritual. Right? Success is right. Right? Hello? You see, God only measures things by the Word of God. Have you built the kingdom like I told you to build it? What if you build it almost right, but not quite right? It's wrong. If you build the ark and leave one board off,
that thing will sink. If you build the temple and leave one window out or one door wrong, or you put the lampstand in the doorway and a guy bumps into it, it's wrong. You can't have it almost right. You say, well, let's not knock it because it's partly right. I don't care about partly right. It's got to be perfectly right. You say, well, nobody knows that. Do you know? And no, I don't know. But I know this. I know it's in here somewhere. And whatever it takes day and night, let's find out. Let's not just accept it and say, well, the last generation had a pretty good, you know, pyramid, about like that. We've added 3 feet to it. I think we've done enough for our part. That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, scrap everything that's not right. It says that I'm going to shake the church. I'm going to let judgment begin in the church until that thing is purified. Hello? Now, if I were the devil, I'd kill me. Because I'm crazy. I am. I don't have any respect for this life. Hello? You see what I'm saying? And if I were the devil, I'd just wipe me out. And he's done a pretty good job so far of, you know, trying to tempt. But the point is, he can't do it. You see? I'm not afraid of him. And it doesn't make any difference. You know, if he slaughters me today, it's no big deal. I think Clay will take over. You know, you think, well, Clay doesn't even have it. He'll get it. But why? Because there's a God. And anything that I want to do that's not of God should die. Anything that I want to do that's of God, it'll live anyway. I don't need to do it. I don't need to even understand it. All I need to do is be obedient. And I can even be wrong. Maybe I'll build a crazy pyramid myself. I've thought of that. Get into pyramid business, you know? Build something. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Unless it's built on the Word of God, it won't last. And I've built pyramids. Scrap them all. The only men of God that I respect are those that don't take themselves seriously. Did you hear me? I don't take serious any man of God who takes himself serious. I take serious a man of God that takes God serious. And that means that he must go against himself, or I don't believe him. I like Robinson, because he's a mess. That's why I like him. And he's after something, and he doesn't have it yet. I know he doesn't. But he's on the road. And I like him because he keeps saying, I thought I had it, but I was wrong. I like that. That's the kind of person I trust. I like Dave Wilkerson because Dave Wilkerson is like that too. He prophesies or says something and I don't think he's got it right. I think he's got it half right. But he's the kind of guy that'll come back a year later and say, I didn't have it right. I had it half right. Here's the right. You see? I like that. I like a man that'll get up and say, I'm not God, but I am a messenger of God. And don't ignore me, but don't worship me. Just listen to me. Because I've got something to say, and I'm going to get it out of my mouth sooner or later. I just stutter, but I'll get it out. Now that humility is what the body of Christ needs. That's Christ living in you. Because when Christ lives in you, you have a fear of God, not to build something or say that you're holy when you're not. So much pretension in the body of Christ today about people being holy. And so many people trying to be holy without even knowing him. And so many people working for him without being holy or without knowing him. We don't need that. Now, there's nothing wrong with working for God. Just don't take yourself seriously. When you start building, you can do works right today without even being fully holy. You don't have to be fully holy. Just don't make any big deal about it. Don't blow your horn. Just say, you know, I'll clean the church, I'll mow the lawn, I'll teach Sunday school, whatever, but just don't make any big deal about it. You know, don't go into a big thing like, well, I don't really know if I'm called and all that stuff. You know, just say, I'll do it. I see you have a job needs done. I'll do it because I see you need it done. Very practical, not very spiritual. God spoke to me Thursday night and said I should teach Sunday school for 3 weeks for you. You know, we don't need that. Just teach Sunday school. Just come and teach. You know, is this not that fancy? Hello? You don't hear God. You don't hear God by standing still and waiting for God to speak. You hear him by doing something, making mistakes, and then he says, no. And you go, oh. And that's when you hear him. You can't hear God. You can't steer a car that's parked. Turn your motor on, get going. You may go in the wrong direction, but God can say, turn around. Go to the left, go to the right. That's how he can direct you. But he can't direct you when you're sitting there waiting. Go ahead, God, tell me which way to go. He says, go. Yeah, but which way? Go. Oh, yeah, I can't. Go in reverse. Go up, go down. Just do something. You're too spiritual-minded. You're not going to know God except bumping along in life. That He's the Lord. You're not the Lord. If you knew, you would be the Lord. I'm not going to tell you. He just says, go, and you just make the best you can. Well, you know, I'm not as smart as so-and-so. I'm not as clean as so-and-so. I'm not as... He doesn't care. He's talking to you. Do it. That's the living God. Amen. That's Christ in you. He's just saying, do it. Well, maybe they will want... He doesn't care about all that. That's what lordship is oh, be quiet and just do it. Well, I might offend... Go ahead. Well, maybe I'll... Yeah, go ahead. Well, you know, that's what... pastors are for. If you guys start doing things, then Robert and I are in trouble. But that's what we're for. That'll make us pray. That'll get us on our knees. Oh, God, spare us from these people. They're going everywhere, you know. People go nutty. They're doing all this stuff for God, and it's crazy. It's not for God, but that's all right. Praise God, they're doing something. Amen? That's the risen Christ. When Christ is in you, sure, you go astray. But you see, when you go astray, He Himself, not even the pastor, He Himself will tell you, this is not the kingdom of God. And the reason it isn't is because you didn't hear me clearly. And the reason that is because you aren't holy. The resurrection. That's the living God. You can't buy a bargain on this one. You can't sneak around, do an end run. You can't go from being a total mess to cleaning up your life. That's what religion does. Religion takes flesh people. It skips lordship. It can use either saved or unsaved. It's the neat thing about churches. They don't really care if you're saved or unsaved. They'll use anybody. That's their genius. They don't care what the material looks like. Just, you know, come aboard. Pay your tithe. Get your number in the book. You know, here, we're going to take a Polaroid shot of you this week. We got another family in our church. No. All right. They don't care. They're geniuses, at using flesh people to look Christian. And that, you know, you come in flesh, and then you walk out Christian. You know? And it's all just, you know, that's the genius of religion. It's a genius thing. I tell you, it's impressive. It's impressive. Oh, that we had done a little bit of that. You know? It's impressive because they get things done. It's one thing about religion. It knows how to look good. It has no holiness in it. None. It doesn't know God. But it looks good. It looks good. Now, be careful. Beware. That's the group that killed Jesus. I mean, the Jews were the best of the best of the best. You've got to understand, no rabble-rouser killed Jesus. This was a well-organized, well-oiled religious group that knew how to manage the world. And they saw when this guy came around with his freedom. People resent freedom. That's one of the reasons I like it. Because people resent it. Now, you see, if you're dealing with people and manipulating people, you don't want to do that. Because you know how people work. People work, you know, if you do this deal here. You know how people work. But I tell you, I don't believe in people work. Because that'll get that result, legalism. We want a living God. And this is what we want right here. To really know Him. To let Him be your Lord. To let Him rule your life. Say it. I want Jesus to rule my life totally. Say it. I can't manage my life. I can't stand other people. I just can't lord them. They're unlordable. Thank you. Now, you see, you can't. That's right. They're meant to be stubborn. Don't you realize God made them stubborn so you couldn't get a hold of them? Thank God they're stubborn and obnoxious and, you know, isn't that great? That should tell you something. Remember Moses cried out and said, oh God, give me another people. You remember that? You know, you made me, the king over the wrong people. Tried to get a new group. Please make them more like me next time. That's a temptation, isn't it? If only everybody were like me. That's the problem. They are. Now, we need to come to know Jesus as Lord, not as Savior. Look, we know Him as Savior. He saved us from being total messes. Now, look, why you're not growing is you believe that. You know you were a total mess at one time on Thursday. But now you got a Savior, and you believe in Him as Savior. And you know that He gave you His Spirit, and you're born again of the Spirit. And you know He did it for you, and you didn't know He did it as you, but I told you He did. And you didn't know He did it with you, maybe, but now you know that, all right? You got all that down. But He did all of that. He rose, not just to do that, but in order to do this. And we haven't done that. We're not coming to know Him. We're not coming to know Him. We're not spending hours and hours and hours with Him because we're doing other things. We've got so many other things to do that are more worthwhile, that are compelling, that are just, they just take time. How many know that God deserves something? But certainly not first place. He deserves maybe even the best, but certainly not everything. But this is what God says. He says, you know, you don't really understand what life is all about. This is what it's all about. That's the way Jesus did it. Jesus did nothing in His life but to know God. Now, that doesn't mean you have to quit your job. Doesn't mean you have to quit your family. As a matter of fact, it means do your job better. As a matter of fact, it means be a better family member. What do we have in this world but our families? We really don't. There's nothing else that really counts. All I've got really is my wife and my children, really. And that's what the covenant is all about. Do you know that? Did you know that the covenant is all about Abraham handing on everything he's got to his kids? My boy now is 11 years old, and he's going to be 12 in a little while. I don't think he's here. But whenever my kids turn 12, I take them off with me for several days alone. And I sit down with them and I explain to them what I believe about everything. It takes several days. And we're in an isolated place. No one, no telephone, no one can get to us. I did this with Kara, and I did it with Kirsten, now I'm going to do it with David. And I just explained to him, look, this is what I believe about life. Here's how I raised you. We made a lot of mistakes. Forgive us for those. And being 12, they just go, yeah, it's okay. You know? If they were 13, we wouldn't have gotten away with that. But 12, you know, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay, Dad. You know that your mother and I aren't perfect. Yeah, I see that. And, you know, it's no big thing at that age. You know, they still have hope. You know? Anyway, now, we made a lot of mistakes. Forgive us. Okay. Now I want to tell you how I'm going to raise you for the next few years, and you're not going to like it. Oh, okay, Dad. And we're going to do this, we're going to do that. You're not going to date. You're not going to do this. You're not going to do that. Oh, okay, Dad. Because they're 12, see? It's not a big deal to them until they get 13. And they get out that mascara and that stuff, and, you know. Anyway, so it's okay, Dad. And, you know, then I say, now, here's how you pray. And here's how you keep a journal. And here's how you read the Bible. And here's what counts to me. This is what matters to me. Now, I've told you the truth. Life stinks. It's no good. I'm telling you the truth. Where did I get all that? From the book of Proverbs. Just got right out of the Bible. It's right there in the Bible. All I did, and then we go over the Proverbs. We go over them. That's what we're doing for 3 days. Going over those Proverbs. Now, I believe that's what makes strong children. They need that time with their dad to tell them what life is all about. Because I think parents are supposed to hand that on to their kids. And then, as we go along the way, it makes sense. I know I say a lot of things to Kara. And, Kara, I'm just so excited that, you know, you're as cooperative as you are. Really. I really expected a lot more difficulty. But, you know, she's beautiful. She goes, Dad, can I do thus and so? No. Okay, thank you. Then she'll come back an hour later and say, Dad, I'd like to talk to you about something. What's that? Well, I've been praying for an hour. And Jesus said you would listen to me. And here's what Jesus told me to tell you. Now what do you think? You know, I mean, that kind of gets to a dad. You go, well, what else do you want? You know, I mean, that's maturity. That's pretty impressive to a father. Because I already told her all my fears. Why not? Because. Oh. And then Jesus told her how to overcome. Okay. That's maturity. So Kara has more and more freedom because I more and more trust her because she knows I don't trust her one bit. But I trust God is her God. Not me. I'm not there. I told her, honey, if you want to lie to me, it's so easy. All you got to say is, Dad, I won't do that, and I'll believe you. And then you go out and do the opposite. And I won't catch you for a week or two. And when I do, but it's okay, you see, because I really can't, after you're, how old are you now, 17? 17? Not 17, golly, it's awful. Anyway, after you're 17, it's hard then, you've already done it, you see. You're nearing the end of the rope. You're at the end. Now she can probably eat candy anytime she wants to. But think of it. For 17 years, she didn't get to eat candy. You understand? In other words, I don't care. Because I didn't do it to be impressive or something. I did it because God said so. And if God said, raise your children in the way that I pointed out here, that's the way it's going to be. I don't care if I'm successful or not. God didn't say, be successful. He just said, do it. And I did it. And he said, spank them. And I spanked them. And he said, use a rod. And I took out a rod. I didn't spank them with my hand, hit them in the face, chase them around with a belt. Hello. Send them to the room and make them pout. I took out a rod and gave it to them till it hurt. And that means they cried. And if they didn't cry, we did it again. Hello. It was an event. I mean, that was a real event. We walked back real calmly. And we took out that thing and hit them until they not were angry, till they were afraid. And that fear of God is very important for children. Right? Right, John? I wish I had John for a while. And Kristen back there. And Joe. Boy, if I could, wouldn't that be great, Kristen, if we could get these other kids, Discipline in children is what changed my life around. When my third father came into my life at 11 years old, he was one of those German Prussians. And I hadn't had a father for a long time. And here this guy comes in and says, you will do this, And he's not very loving, but he's very clear. You will wash one third of the house every Saturday. You will take out the garbage every day. You will do dishes every other day. Here's the chart. Here's your name. Here's your sister's name. Do it. If you get 3 demerits, spanking. Work. And we didn't have a lot of talk. That was about, in the umpteen years I knew him, that was about all we ever heard, And he really did it. I mean, when he said you got a spanking, he never discussed it. He would say one thing to me. Jim, do you know why I'm going to spank you? Yeah. Okay. He just went right downstairs and spanked me. That was it. He came back upstairs, no words were said. And if I wiggled, got another one. I didn't wiggle. Now, that discipline was good. I hated him. But in a few years, I respected him. Because I discovered my cousin, who was 1 year older than me and wild as one can be, and did everything one could do. And I could have been just like him had this other guy not come into my life. He didn't have a father. He was just like me without a father. And we were both kind of wild. And he could do all this stuff. Well, I saw within a few years that he was getting in trouble. And my dad had so stopped me and put the fear of God in me that even though I didn't love God, I was afraid of my dad. And I didn't know if there was a God, but I knew there was a dad with a belt. And so that helped me because it made me realize I can't run the world like my cousin thought. He could just do anything and everything. And he always was. Jim, let's go do this. I can't. My dad will get me, And you see, that's a beautiful thing. That's why Jesus Christ came to rule this world with the true reality. Praise God, my father, late in life, accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. As did my mother. He didn't even know Jesus. He was a religious person. He had been a Lutheran all his life in a religious sense. He had been a Mason all his life. He'd done a lot of things. He was a good person, roughly speaking. But when I shared Jesus Christ with him, he accepted the Lord. When I told him about Masonry, he accepted it. It was amazing to me. I said, Dad, I don't think it's Christian. And here's why. These three things.
Bang, bang, bang. I said, well, Jim, I don't know. He said, well, you pray about it. So on. Next time I came back, he said, okay, I dropped all that. I said, wow. No words. He just went and talked to God. When he wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he just said, Jim, your mother has really changed these last few years, and she's a lot better Christian than I am. I think it might be this baptism of the Holy Spirit. How do I get that? Well, Dad, this is the way you do it, and so on. Would you like to do it right now? He said, no. I'll see you later. And he went into his room, and the next morning he came out beaming. Said, I got it. That's all. It's beautiful. It's simple. God is alive today to rule His people, to build the kingdom of God after He makes them holy, which is what discipleship is about, after you know Him, which is what discipleship is all about, because discipleship is all about lordship. And that means we need to be lorded. Because we don't just grow automatically. Hello? Now. I want you to understand this, because this is what resurrection is all about. You can't have the resurrection power unless you do it in the resurrection power way. This is guilt up here. No more guilt. This is power down here. Practical Christianity. Real, live, honest-to-goodness Christianity where there's real love. Where there's really healing. Where there's really joy. Where there's really life. Isn't this it? Now, you cannot do that all on your own. Nor can any parachurch organization do that for you. You know what a parachurch organization is? That's an organization like the 700 Club or something that isn't really a local church. The 700 Club cannot grow you up in this way. It can teach you, can help you, can assist you. It's a great assistance. But it is not the local church. That's why Robison got out of the evangelistic business and got into the pastoring business, because he began to see that the local church was where it's at and there weren't any. Robison looked around and said, there aren't any local churches. You understand what I'm saying? He said, they're not doing it right. Now, that doesn't mean anybody can just go and start one. Believe me. Don't do it. Unless you're commanded by God. Because they're not easy to do. I mean, the devil's never given that one away. You think you're just going to walk up and take it? He's got his way. This is the way he allows. You go another way, you'll get it. Because these people will stop you. It isn't the devil. The devil's bad people out in the world that'll stop you. It's the decent people. You're a threat to them. Hello? You like warfare? If you like things to be smooth, you don't want to be in a New Testament church. If you like death and resurrection, that's where you want to be. How many love death and resurrection? You know, here Robert and I have been working away now for a couple years on this stuff, and it's all come to nothing, hasn't it, Robert? That's exciting. It's great to give everything you got to something and have it come to nothing. That's the real death of a vision. I mean, you know, when you believe in something with everything you've got and nothing happens that you had in mind, that's exciting. Because then only if there's a God does anything happen. Oh, we say that the first day.
Only if there's a God will anything happen. Right, Robert? Right, Jim. Unless the Lord builds a house, they that labor in vain.
That's it. We got it. Okay, God. Now we're gonna kind of work here, and then you just do it. Go ahead. Okay, we're working now. You do it.
Okay, we're still working. We haven't quit. See this? We're working. Okay, we're going to do it this way now. We're going to fast. Okay, now we're going to do it this way. Okay, now let's see. We'll do it this way. Okay, go ahead, God. Go ahead. Do it. Now,
you know, he didn't do it. He didn't come through. And we did all the right things, didn't we, Robert? We did all the wrong things, but we did all the right things. We did everything right. But you see, God has his own timing and his own method and his own ways because he's God. And he's alive. And we don't need to win. We've already won. I don't care about that. I came to know him. Robert, one thing, you and I have come to know God. Amen. He has purified our souls. I mean, meekness. Took Moses 40 years to learn meekness. And we've been at it, you know, a few years and going, this is enough for a New Testament person.
2 years, right, Robert? That's enough for a New Testament person. And between us, 4 years, you know, I mean. No, it takes a long time for God to work this character in you. One of the things that stops it is you imagine you're already there. That's a sure giveaway. So, okay, God, I think we've got it now. All right, now we've passed this one. We're on to this one. Yeah, now we're ready for this one. Well, he just has his own ideas. I think it's funny. Don't you think that's funny of God? Jesus Christ is alive. Doesn't make any difference about me. Jesus Christ is alive, and he is going to do everything he said, and I believe it. And you'll never, I don't care what happens, you'll never get me to not believe that. To the death, I believe that, literally. I am willing, I've always been willing, I've never changed on this. Someone would say, you know, you're consistent. I am. I am completely, I've said the same thing from day one. And I've gone through hell still saying the same thing, and I'll still say the same thing. I don't care how many devils there are. Luther once said this, so I think I'll say it. I don't care how many devils there are on the roofs of the buildings. You know, if there's a zillion of them, I'm going to still do what God said. Now, people in church believe that's theatrical. I hope you don't. Because if there's a people on the earth, it's you who know we're not fooling. But most church is theatrical, very dramatic. Even Robinson, I can remember years ago listening to him, and you know, the Bible says, you know, and he's all this dramatic stuff. And you know it's not quite right listening to it. But you know the guy's sincere. But praise God, he later came and said, I used to do all that, and I didn't even really know everything. That's right. You see, that's accurate. You cannot fool anybody. You can only fool people that want to be fooled because they're trying to fool you. But if you get somebody that's really hurting, you'll not fool them. If you get somebody that's really sinful, you'll not fool them. You can only fool religious people who are trying to fool you. You know, they got their mask and you got your mask. And you go, I can't see you. I can't see you either. You know, I can't see you. No, I can't see you. You know, but you get one sinner in a church, bang, he can see right through it. Or you get one person that's hurting, they'll see right through it. Because reality knows reality. And deep calls unto deep. And Jesus Christ is real, and he's calling his people to himself, and it takes years and years to do, and he's got all the time in the world. Literally. He's got all the time in the world. We may be in a hurry, but he's not in a hurry. And I'm excited, because I believe you people, and I never know who the you is, but I see a few familiar faces that I said this to a while back. You people are the people. There'll be a new group next week, I'll say the same thing. But that's all right. Because it's the Word of God that's consistent, not the people. And Jesus Christ lives inside of you. It will not fail what God hath ordained. The only thing is it God? I don't know the Word of God. I don't know all the things of God. I don't know everything that a New Testament church is. But I do know God. And I do know that whatever it is, I want to do it. I'm committed to it. And I know that I must be holy, pure, for that to happen. And whatever that is, and I'm not perfect, but whatever that is, I want it. So I'm going to spend the time with God till I become as real as God is real. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's resurrection. The ability to say amen is resurrection. The ability just to believe that he saved you from in order to lord you for. That's resurrection. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that this people is indeed your people, that you have gathered us together that you might infill us with power, that you might make yourself known to us in holiness, that you might reveal yourself in majesty, that we might behold you and love you and adore you, and worship you, and follow you, and praise you, until we're like you. That we might spend so much time with you, personally, allowing you to be our personal manager, allowing you to be the personal managing presence,
in our midst until we are changed from one degree of glory and until we are like you in every way so that we may do as you have done and bring glory to our Heavenly Father. I thank you, Lord God, that these words today are not empty, but are filled with life for the people of God, and that we have come today to hear the Word of God, we've heard the Word of God, that we might live the Word of God. You are the Lord, you are the Savior. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,